Ecclesiastes, and we're going to look at chapter number 12. I've not preached out of the book of Ecclesiastes in a long time. I can't remember the last time. We're going to read several verses there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. School's getting ready to start back next week. I guess you could call this a back-to-school message. But be good for all of us, and it really speaks to all of us. The book of Ecclesiastes. And chapter number 12 and verse number 1. And the Bible said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I thank you for your blessings and all that you've done for us, and I pray and I ask today that you would speak to our hearts from your word and help us as only you can. I'm thankful for all the blessings that you've given to us. And I pray for liberty to preach thy word, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts no matter where we are along the journey of our life, whether we're are young, whether we're in the middle, whether we're older. Lord, help us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, or teach us to number our days. Lord, we're only here for a short time. And so we pray for your help. I pray you would use us for your honor and your glory. And we thank you for all your blessings. And we come and we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right. I'm sorry, Chloe. I forgot she was going to sing this morning, but we'll get you to sing tonight if that's all right. And I forgot about that. But let's go back here in this chapter and maybe just start there in verse number 1. That's really what I'm going to preach on this morning. But the Bible said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And King Solomon is the human author of this, these verses that we're reading here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he's writing as an older man, an old man. And he is contrasting or comparing, he's saying in verse number 1, the days of thy youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He is comparing the days of thy youth to the coming days when he says, when the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And so he's encouraging the young people to remember the Lord, know the Lord, serve the Lord while they are young, and not to wait until the days when they will say, I have no pleasure in my days anymore. And he goes on down in verses 2 through 7, and there is a very vivid description of what it is like to get older. Have any of you heard that old age is not for sissies? Well, it's not. And sometimes they say the golden years are not so golden. And, you know, you've heard the things about being on AIDS when you're older, having AIDS, hearing AIDS and walking AIDS and all these things that aid us in our old age. And so he is talking about what it is like to get older. When the days come when you'll say, I have no pleasure in them. Or we might say it like this, boy, I'd like to, but I just don't feel like it. I'd love to, but I'm just not able to do that any longer. Solomon is saying, remember the days, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth while you're young and while you can and while you feel like it. Don't wait until you're older and you say, I have no pleasure in my days, or life is harder than it used to be. Look at some of the ways he uses to describe old age. He said in verse number 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now, what's that talking about? My grandpa Greer, as long as I can remember, he always shook. When he would go to get a glass of water, he'd sit down to eat, and especially the older he got, and that's what was taking place. The keepers of the house begin to tremble. And he shook all the time, seemed like. And so that's what that's talking about. And it says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. What that is talking about is the shoulders begin to droop. And the muscles are not as strong, not as stable as they were once upon a time. And as old age comes on, we might begin to get bent over. And somebody might say, look like a little old man. Well, what do you think of when you hear that? Somebody that's bent over with age and the shoulders, the strength is not what it was once upon a time. He said in verse number 3, and the grinders cease because they are few. That's talking about your teeth and losing teeth. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. That's talking about losing your eyesight. And you know, back in Solomon's day, they didn't have false teeth and they didn't have glasses. And so you could see when somebody is getting older, and it would be more pronounced. Many years ago, in verse number 4, the Bible said, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And it's talking there about hearing loss, not being able to hear like you one time could. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. And you know, the older you get, it seems like the earlier you get up, and people say, well, I just can't sleep like I used to. Smallest thing wakes me up, and I can't go back to sleep. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. I can't hear like I one time could. And the Bible said also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. I believe that's talking about a fear of heights. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and my brother, you know, he's a carpenter, and he said, come out next week. And he said, help us work. Come and help me work next week. And I said, what are you doing? He said, we're working on a roof. And I said, well, do I have to get on the roof? And he said, yeah. And I said, you don't have one low to the ground? You know, I'm just not interested in that. People say, you know, I used to climb a tree. I used to get on the roof and clean out the chimney, and I just can't do that anymore. I'm not as stable as I used to be. That's what that's describing there in those verses. He said, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. There comes a time in life where you're just afraid of a lot of things. People say, oh, I used to jump in the car and I'd drive all night long. Couldn't do that now. I don't like to drive after dark. I don't like to go to town during rush hour. I'm afraid of things that I used to not be afraid of. And then he said, and the almond tree shall flourish. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about this stuff right here. It's talking about getting white-headed. Getting gray-headed. The almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. And that's talking about little things bothering older people that used to, it wouldn't bother you. I'm telling you, the older you get, the more little things bother you. And, you know, you might have a knock in your truck. Nobody else will pay any attention to you, but it drives you crazy. You know, That happened to Dad a while back. He went to everybody in the community. Listen to this. Listen to this. I'm not saying he's getting older, but that was bugging me. What was bugging him was bugging me. We're both getting older. The grasshopper shall be a burden and desire shall fail. I just don't feel like it. I just don't want to. Because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. And so, and in verse 6 is talking about the vital organs of the body begin to fail. Verse number 7 is talking about when a person passes away. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And so it is describing the process of getting older. And all you young people that might laugh and snicker about that, that's what you've got to look forward to. And let me tell you, it gets here pretty quick. It doesn't take long. Our life is as a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And so that's what you've got to look forward to. Solomon is saying, what you're going to do for the Lord, do it now during the days of your youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And yesterday we went to our cousin, our neighbor, friend. Brother James passed away and his funeral was yesterday. And so I went to the church I grew up in. And it just so happened I ended up sitting in the pew that I used to sit in when I was growing up as a boy. And we sat over there on that same side. And I had a lot of memories come back. I could just see my whole family sitting there on that pew. And I remember I used to sit with my grandparents. And my grandpa, he had great big old hands and he'd reach around. And boy, if he got a hold of your shoulder and squeezed, you better sit up and pay attention. And I heard the preacher that was our preacher when I was a little boy, and young boy, he's told me he's 85 years old now. Boy, I wouldn't have thought that. He didn't look like it. He didn't act like it. 85 years old. He was our pastor from 1980 to 1986. I'd been about 10 to 16 years old. And they talked a whole lot about James and how influential he was in the lives of the young people and took a great part in the youth and youth leader and all of those things. So it was like taking a trip down memory lane and remembering a lot of things. It got me thinking about this passage of Scripture. And I want to try to preach today on the subject, if I could go back. If I could go back, I sat there in that pew and I thought about a lot of things. I thought about, I'd been all over that church growing up. I remember even when they remodeled it as it is now. And I thought about all those times and being outside and being inside and the boys and girls I grew up with. And I thought about this, if I could go back. Now, none of us can go back. But if we could, those that are older, we would probably be like Solomon. Solomon cannot go back. He's older. All these things are happening to him. But he said, you young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We can't go back. But if we could, we might change some things. If I could go back, I'm going to give you 5 things this morning. If I could go back, I would, number one, I would try to better satisfy my parents. Try to be a better young person. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6 and verses 1 through 3, and this is also in the Ten Commandments, but it says over there, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now think about growing up, my brother and I. We were not what I would say bad boys. In fact, I've heard my mom and my dad say a whole lot of times about me and my brother. They'd say they were pretty good boys. Well, pretty good's better than bad, but it's not perfect, is it? I mean, pretty good compared to others who maybe weren't so good. But they'd say, you know, they were pretty good boys. You know, Dad tells this story, and I believe it's pretty close to where we live there. The gentleman said that when he was older, that his dad came to him and his brothers, and his dad apologized to him and his brothers for being so hard on them when they were growing up. And one of the boys said, well, Dad, that's all right, because we done a lot of things that we never got caught for. We done a lot of things you never knew about. But you know, we weren't bad boys. We tried to be pretty good, and as I reflect and think back on that, you know what? That is a relief. You know, you carry a lot of baggage in your life. I don't care who you are. And I'm thankful this morning that I can look back over my life and say, you know, I really don't think we caused a whole lot of grief to Mom and Dad. I'd hate to have that on me as well. I don't think anybody would look back over their lives and say, you know, I wish I'd been more disobedient to my parents. And I think all of us could look back and say, you know, I wish I'd have obeyed more. You're not going to look back in your life and say, I regret. You don't want to look back and say, I regret how I treated Mom and Dad. And I'd like to have, if I could go back, I'd certainly do some things different than I did before. I thought about some things I would do different. I would make less messes. That seemed to drive Mom crazy. And I would certainly not throw Daddy's tools all over the place and not put them back up. That drove him crazy. And I bet I got more whippings over getting his stuff out and not putting it back than probably anything else in my younger years. And I would try to live my life where I brought as little pain into my parents' life as possible, because I'm on the other side now, and it's hard being a parent. Even if you got pretty good youngins, there's a lot of pressure in being a parent, not just raising children, but all the things of life that you're dealing with as you're raising your children. I would try to better satisfy my parents. I would be more grateful for the things that I had. And I'd be less lazy. You know, compared to my brother, I've got a lazy streak. Man, him and Dad, they'd be out working. I never wanted to be out. I wanted to watch cartoons on Saturday morning. I wanted to lay in the bed as long as I could. And when I did get up, I just wanted to play ball. They wanted to get out there, and I never understood. They wanted to dig holes in the ground and build fence and work on vehicles and all that. I regretted as I got older that I didn't pay more attention to what they were doing, because I didn't know how to do what I should have known how to do. I know when I got my first pickup, I was wanting to put some oil in it. I knew how to check the oil, but I got to looking at all them knobs on the top, and I couldn't figure out which one the oil went in. I was ashamed to ask Daddy, because I knew what he'd say. He'd say, if you'd have been paying attention, you'd know where to put the oil. And I called my cousin and I said, I'm looking in my pickup and I don't want to put the oil in the wrong hole. And he talked me through it and made sure I put, but I should have known how to do that. 16, 17 years old. I tell you, if you will spend time with your mother, if you'll spend time with your father, you will learn how to do some things in life and be a blessing to them at the same time. If I could go back, I'd get along a whole lot better with my brother than I did. We didn't fight a whole lot, but I'll tell you, when we did, it was grievous to our parents. So I'm just saying, if I could go back, I'd try to better satisfy my parents. The Bible says we're to obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that commandment comes with a promise that it will go well with you in life. I'll tell you, life's hard at the very best. And you young people, listen to me,
You want your life to go well. You better obey your parents. Try to satisfy them. Try to go beyond that and even be an extra special blessing in their life. Wouldn't that be a good thing if you could go back? I try to better satisfy my parents. Number two, I would not serve Satan as long as I did. You say, "Old preacher, did you serve Satan once upon a time?" Yes, I did. And if you're not serving the Lord, that's exactly what you're doing. If you're not serving the Lord, if you're not loving the Lord, if you're not doing God's will in your life, you are not serving the Lord. You're serving the devil. You're serving Satan. It's very, very easy for you young people, and even more so today than when I was young, but it's very easy to get involved in things that you ought not to be involved in. Now, let me just give you an example. This is just getting right down where we live. But when even I was young, there was nowhere around here you could go and get a tattoo. Never heard, never seen anything like that. I mean, as far as I knew as a young person, you'd have to go to Charlotte or New York City, or never seen where you would even have that done. Now, it's everywhere. It's one thing. When I was young, alcohol was hard to get a hold of. Pornography was a hidden thing. It was something you just wasn't around. I mean, you'd have to find it. You'd have to go out of your way. Now, get it on your phone. Young people. It's everywhere. Things like this are very easily available to everybody. Young people, drugs, alcohol, all of these things. It's very easy to get involved in things you shouldn't be, but it is very hard to get uninvolved. And that's why it's far better if you could go through life and say, "I never took the first drink." If you never take the first drink, you won't have to worry about all the rest. I never saw anything like that. If you could go and say, "I didn't look at stuff like that. I wasn't involved in those things." Oh, you'll be way ahead. If you never start talking a certain way, you'll be around people. They'll cuss and they'll use slang. If you ever start cussing and using language you shouldn't use, do you know what? That becomes a habit, and that will stay with you the rest of your life. And you'll stub your toe when you're 50 years old, and that language will just come back, and you'll say, "Well, I hadn't said a cuss word in 5 years." And all of a sudden, there it is. That's because you got in the habit of it once upon a time. But if you never get in the habit, I tell you, once upon a time, men cussed. Now, the women try to outdo the men. It's a different day and time we're living in. Women were, they were better, acted better, talked better. Now it's a contest to see who can be the most vulgar. Now I haven't cursed in a long time, but my brother redone her back step, and it's about that much lower than it was. And I've stubbed my toe 10 times in the last 2 days. I told Kim, I said, "That's going to kill me. I can't get my mind to step a little bit higher going in the back." Wasn't too bad till I took my shoes off outside and dusted them off and went in barefooted. Man, I'm telling you. We tell our young people, "Oh, you need to stay away from drugs and alcohol and pornography and gambling and sex and smoking and pot and all of this stuff. And you should stay away from that." But I'm going to tell you where the real danger is. It's the friends you're around. You're very unlikely to go out here all by yourself and get involved in something that you shouldn't. But you let a friend be in it, acting like it, talking like it, involved in it, and your chances of getting involved in it, they escalate way up there. Better be careful who your friends are. And I've said this 100 times. You are now, or you soon shall be, what your friends now are. And if you want to know what you're like, just look at your friends. If your friends are bullies, you'll be a bully. If your friends are drinking, it won't be long till you're drinking. If your friends are involved in sex outside of marriage and stuff like that, and that's all they talk about and that's all they're consumed with, it won't be long, you'll be into that. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Remember when I was growing up, our youth group, on a Sunday night, they had series of lessons about the dangers of rock and roll music. This is back in the 80s, and there's a thing, and I don't even know if it's still today, but the songs are still around, but they took rock music and you could play it backwards and it said stuff. It had messages in it. You know that song they play at football games that says, we will rock you, Queen. Famous rock groups sang that song. And you go to football games and boy, they'll play that song. And man, that gets people pumped up. Do you know if you play that backwards that it says, hey, hey, smoke marijuana. Hey, hey, smoke marijuana. A lot of them songs, they have a message in them. And I'll tell you, our young people at church, it scared us to death. A bunch of us got together. We had all these records, all this music. We burned it, threw it away, got rid of it. But we didn't get rid of our friends that was listening to the same thing. And so it didn't do any good. Your friends are a huge, huge influence in your life. If I could go back, I would change some of the friends I had, because it got me on a bad path for a while. Number three, if I could go back, I would do this. I would study God's Word more diligently. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm telling you, I grew up in church. We went to church 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was involved in youth group. I was involved in Wednesday night. We had what we called royal ambassadors. It's based on that verse in the Bible, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And I was on the church track team when we went to track meets, and I was on the church basketball team and anything that went on, and we were involved in all of that stuff. Very, very involved. And I want to tell you this morning, I would try to read the Bible and it didn't make any sense to me. And I couldn't understand it. I was like the Ethiopian there in Acts chapter number 8 when Philip came up and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? Now, I'm not saying we did not have Bible study. I'm just saying all I remember is all the activity, all the fun. There was lots of busyness. There was lots of involvement. And I know that there is the preaching of the Word. And I know when we got together, we had to study something out of the Bible. But I never grew. I never took off as a Christian until I went to England and got in church over there. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe it's their fault. I don't know. It's probably a little bit of both. But I'll tell you what. We as Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school, youth leaders, if we can have all the activities under the sun, and that's good and fine and wonderful, I'm for it. But everything we do, it better be based on this. This is what the Bible says. If we're not teaching our young people, this is what the Bible says, we're doing a great disservice to them. The things of God ought to be brought before our young people, our old people, all of us all the time. And I'll tell you, it's the desire of my heart. You say, preacher, that's not very deep preaching. But if I preach real deep and you didn't understand it, it's not going to do you a bit of good. I'm telling you, every time we get together, the Word of God ought to be laid out before us where everybody can understand what's been said. You ought to know sin will make you stupid. And Samson loved Delilah and Delilah loved money. That's what Katie learned a few Wednesday nights ago at church. Went home, told her mama about it. That's thrilled me. You don't know how much that's thrilled me. That a little youngin' got a hold of something at church. That'll change your life if you get a hold of them three things. Learn something. Get something from God's Word. If you don't understand it, learn it. Study it. Get with somebody that'll help you. Ask me. I want people to understand what the Word of God says. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the Word. I'd have loved to have heard some messages like I've tried to preach to our young people down through the years. If you go out and do something you ought not to be doing, I hope that the Holy Ghost of God will bring to your heart and mind that you know that's wrong. And your parents have told you it's wrong. And the man of God has preached to you that it's wrong. And you know you ought not to be doing it. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you won't enjoy it anyway. You'll enjoy it maybe a little bit, but you'll be condemned the whole time if you're saved. There'll be that little voice says, you ought not to be here. You ought not to be doing that. This is wrong. That's worth all the education. That's worth all the money that's poured into stuff. If I could go back, I would surrender earlier in life. Now, I surrendered to preach on my 21st birthday. That's pretty early. There's 5 or 6 years I'd love to get back. I'd like to have a do-over on. The Bible said in Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I really believe in that. I believe we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. I believe we ought to present ourselves and say, like Isaiah did, he said, hear my Lord, send me. Once upon a time, years ago, churches not only rejoiced in conversions and baptisms, but they rejoiced when somebody would dedicate or rededicate their lives to the Lord. When's the last time you heard somebody do that? Somebody asked me, I don't even know if they're saved. But a gentleman that I know in our community at large, and I saw him several years ago, and you know, people ask you, say, how's things at church? And you know, I was talking to him and he said, Do you have any dedications or rededications? And I thought, my goodness, I'd about forgot about that. Well, to dedicate our lives to the Lord. I can remember growing up and preachers encouraging us young people, give your life to the Lord. Dedicate your life to the Lord. People used to go to the altar and do things like that. And then if they got out here in the world and got off track a little bit and got messed up and come back to church and God would convict them and they'd come to the altar and they'd rededicate their lives. They'd repent of their sin and they'd say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, use me. Lord, take me. Lord, forgive me. And that's about a thing of the past. Not that God's changed, but we've changed. And then we say, oh, we need revival. I don't know why we're not having revival. Because we don't live surrendered lives and we don't keep our lives on the altar. And many have never surrendered their life unto the Lord to give their all to Him. I want to encourage you this morning, start where you are. I mean, if you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 years old, don't say it's too late. I mean, start where you are. There's still a lot of time left to do something for the Lord. But if you start as a youth, you can live your whole life for God. What a blessing. I had a preacher friend one time. He surrendered to preaching. He stood up and he testified and he said, I know I ran from God for 10 years. 10 years. Wasted, lost, gone down the drain, never get it back. But if you surrender as a young person, you could potentially live your whole life for God. What could God do with a whole life? He can do anything He wants with 10 more years, 5 more years, 20 more years, but a whole life. Man, what potential there is to live your whole life for God. Tell you, you won't waste 10 years if you start out young saying, I'm going to live my life for God. Whatever He wants me to do, wherever He wants me to go, that's what I'm going to go. That's what I'm going to do. Man, you'll save a lot of aggravation in life. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about Preacher Mike Warren, Brother Mike, and they said, were you there? Were you at Forest Grove after Brother Mike? I said, no. I said, I was Brother Mike's pastor. I said, I was before Brother Mike. And they said, there's no way. You're not that old. I said, well, I know I don't look that old, but I said, I've almost been 27 or 28 years preaching now. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I'd surrender earlier in life. Number 5, and last of all this morning, this is the most important one I want to leave with you. If I could go back, I would get saved as soon as possible. Here's what the Bible says, Isaiah 55 and verse 6. It says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Now I know the Spirit of God has to deal with a person's heart. But the Bible also says we're to seek the Lord while He may be found. If you are here and a young person and you are lost, you've never been saved, or maybe you're a little bit older, I don't know. But if you have never been saved, but you know you need to be. You know you want to be. You need to seek the Lord right now. You need to pray every day that the Lord would save you. You need to make that a major priority in your life. You ought to think about it all day long, and that ought to be the last thing you think about when you go to bed at night. I need to be saved. I mean, all you young people, young children here even, you know Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You know He wants to save you. You know there's such a thing. But I think sometimes we put into our children's heart and minds not to seek the Lord, but just to, it'll happen. And it will. But it won't hurt for you to seek the Lord. If you were lost at sea, say you were on a big ship and it went down and you're on a rubber raft and you're lost at sea and this thing's getting holes in it and you're running out of food and you're out in the middle of nowhere You wouldn't just lay there in the raft and a plane fly over and say, oh, they'll find us when they get ready. You'd say, hey, save me. Save me. Come now. If a big old ship passed by, you wouldn't just say, well, they'll find us one of these days. You'd say, hey, come and get us. Pick me up before I die, because you're in danger. That's what it means to seek the Lord. Noah was very small, been in church his whole life. I mean, you could convince a 3-year-old to make a profession of faith if they've been in church all their life. And he'd come many, many times. He'd say, I want to be saved. And I'm knowing he's little. He don't understand. And we'd say, that's good. Let's pray. And we'd pray, Lord, save Noah one day. Lord, please save Noah one day. And that'd satisfy him. That'd satisfy him. And he'd go on play and everything else. And he'd come back sometime later. And Abigail, same thing. I want the Lord to save me. Let's pray and ask the Lord to save you. You know what? He'll save you. But you ought to seek the Lord. That ought to be something you're thinking about. Is anybody here today can stand up and testify when you got saved, you was thinking about it. Until you start thinking about it, I don't think you're going to get saved. Until you start saying, what happened to me if I died? I'll tell you, when I was a little boy, it used to bother me. I'd think to myself, what would happen if my mom or my daddy died? Then they start talking about the Lord coming back. I remember that, and I would think, what happened if the Lord come back? What happened if I die? That's God speaking to your heart. And I'd be listening. If I was you, I'd be like Samuel over there in the Old Testament, and I'd be listening for the Lord to speak to my heart. And when He does, you need to get saved. I wouldn't put that off. I'd be looking for that. I'd be listening for that. Get saved just as early as you can, and when God speaks to your heart, and don't put it off. Don't say, well, I'll get saved one day. I'd like to do this first. No, you're wasting your time. And you may not want to get saved later. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When the evil days come not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So a lot of people, they'll never serve God, but they could have if they'd have listened when they's young. And then I'll close with this. He says down in chapter number 12 and verse 13, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, let's sum everything up. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's a judgment day coming. Better be ready. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.